Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes, and it's the 21st today of March 2020. Five years ago, we were locked up in our houses in 2 days' time, were we not, on the 23rd, which is the Sunday, I believe. I think the announcement came on the 22nd, something along those lines. Anyway, that's an interesting thing. We should never forget that. I've just got to turn the internet on, and then I'm all ready to talk to you. I've just had a bath, actually. Nice quick bath this morning. Wake myself up. Julia's not here, so I was up at 6:30. It must be 6:50, something like that now, and I want to talk to you about divinity this morning. Yeah, 6:45, just had a quick look. Cat is outside, so we can talk with peace. What a difference it makes when there's no activities going in the house. Now, I may well have a pipe full. And people may say, well, you did that yesterday, you must be addicted. And I must, again, assure people that tobacco is not addictive. It might be habit-forming. It might be, oh, that's what you do at a certain time. But it's not addictive, I can assure you that. I might just have this little apple pipe, which I quite enjoy. Anyway, we'll see. Let me just plonk myself down. Divinity. Take my glasses off and just relax the eyes for a bit. And I've got a cup of coffee here already. I'm going to plonk you down next to me. Today I'm wearing a waistcoat because it's mild. And a jacket, of course. But a waistcoat, I've been itching to get back into waistcoats. But because of the weather, it's been a little chilly on the chilly side. Apart from sort of during the middle of the day, I haven't gone back to my standard dress, and I've been in those very delightful jumpers, which aren't, unfortunately, are not wool. And this year, when I buy new clothes, I think I've just got to get to the point where I am only going to buy wool or cotton or linen. Natural fibres. Anyway, I was watching a video yesterday as I was cooking my dinner, and one of the things I am trying actually to do, is to move away from the phone, to move away from watching things and reading. And yesterday I did in fact find myself scrolling. I checked, you do check your views at the end of the day, and you think, did that video work? Were people interested in it? That sort of thing. I don't do that a huge amount, but I do it a little bit. Just to check, because you obviously still want people, you still want the content that you put out to resonate. It doesn't make me any money as such, although people are very generous with their donations, and I really appreciate that, because I don't know what one would do. However, we'll come on to all of that in a minute. And I found myself scrolling, and I said to myself, what are you doing? Put the phone down. And I put myself down. And fortunately, I do have a strong will. And I put the phone down. A friend of mine told me about a woman who was standing in the kitchen, his landlady, scrolling on her phone, leaning up against, say, the sink or something, and was there a couple of hours later, still mesmerised by the phone. I mean, that's just awful, isn't it? So I checked the stats, and I suppose in the process of turning the phone off, and then it comes up to the current videos that are being offered to you, and I started to scroll. I just went, hold on, don't get lost in that. So I put the phone down, and moved away and picked up my book, God is an Englishman, by R.F. Delderfield. So I did that. But prior to that, when I was cooking, sometimes it's quite nice to put something that you can listen to. you know, not so much glue your eyes to, but you can listen to. Because I used to listen to Radio 4 a lot. I don't do that now. And I came across, I quickly found an interesting podcast. So I put it on, wasn't looking at it, but the content of which, I think, I've got to remember now exactly how they structured it, but they said that the Jesus in the Bible had been misconstrued, and that Jesus was not saying in the Bible to look beyond for the God, for his Father, but actually to look inward, and that the church, Orthodox and organized religions, effectively were trying to get to, were making people feel that to get to God you had to go through them, through the bishops, through the vicars, the rectors, the, you know, the whole of them, and as a result you had this organization, basically a corporation of different tiers of authority and hierarchy. And it reminded me, actually, with your bishops and all the different archbishops, bishops, prelates, vergers, vicars, rectors, you know, all of these different divisions. It sort of reminded me very much of corporations with chief executives, line managers, you know, and director of finance, director of this, human resources, all these different departments are sort of effectively replicated, it seems to me, in these in the Catholic and Protestant Church, and probably in other faiths, with all different divisions and hierarchies of chiefs. And hierarchy is something I can talk about on another thing, because in some respects I think hierarchies are useful and can be good, but at the same time they can, like most things, you know, there's good and bad on most things. And anyway, so they were saying that Jesus had been hijacked, if you like, to tell the masses, to control the masses, that in order to get to God, you had to go through this hierarchy of different people, through the church, an agency. You couldn't just go direct to God. You had to go to church. You had to listen to the rector or the vicar, the priest, who would interpret the Bible for you and tell you how to live your life. And for hundreds of years, of course, that was the case. And but this video was saying no, that's not what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying the divinity is within, that we have God within us, and you must search within for looking at God. And that, you know, that's, it depends what you class as God, of course, the one, the creator, the divine, the maker of everything, the universe, if you like. And is it, some people will argue that it is a conscious being that thinks and makes decisions, and others will say it's like a power source, that it is like electricity, that you use it for certain you use it in a certain way, and like electricity, you can light a light, or you can make an electric chair, you know. So, and then there's the karma, that if you use this, if you use God or you go against God, things will come back to you, or he will abandon you, and everything is very random. I mean, there's all of those kind of ideas. What kind of ideas? They are ideas out there. And then probably a lot more. The universal way to contact God, of course, is through prayer. Prayer can be interpreted in different ways. It may be sitting down at the edge of the bed on your knees with your hands together saying, Almighty God, please listen to me. It may also be just lying in bed, meditating to oneself with thoughts and using affirmations. It may be sitting cross-legged, going om, you know, whatever is the current thing. The point, I suppose, I mean, and also thinking in a way is communicating with what you would perceive to be, for God to be. Just thinking, concentrating your thoughts instead of having scattered thoughts. Scattered thoughts that react to the environment that we're in. We have an amazing ability to control our thoughts, although very often we don't. We allow others to manipulate our thoughts, advertisements, for example, the mainstream media, our friends, books. And to a certain degree, the ability to take in a thought, analyze it, does it offer me anything, reject it or keep it, is ours. And that is where it is great to get into a debate with other people that isn't a slanging match, an argument maybe, where you're sharing points of view and perhaps arguing the case for something or not, and listening to the other side of the argument. If you don't listen to the other side of the argument, it's not worth having, is it? Let me just light my pipe, having loaded it up. We saw a man yesterday. Julia and I went for a walk down. Julia's looking for a car. And we walked down to a garage that's got cars in a forecourt. On the way back, we went through Beach House Park, and there was a gentleman sitting in front of the bowling green on a park bench, smoking his pipe. So I steered Julia towards him, and we bade him a good morning. And I said, "It's so lovely to see someone smoking a pipe." I said, "I actually have a pipe. I didn't have one on me." And we had a lovely conversation with him. He's 71, been smoking since he was about 24, he said. Or was he 76? 50-odd years. And he smoked the same brand all his life. He tried a few others, but he just stayed with the same brand, over-the-counter brand. I'll talk about this, I think, in the next smoking video. Anyway, that was a by-the-by, really. So, can't remember where I got to now in this divinity conversation. I believe that the one, the creator, the divinity, the divine, the God, however you want to express life, is in everything. And is everything. And cannot be solely outside us. We cannot be outside the creation. And it's not, I don't see the creator, if you like, as a being separate from us. We are, in fact, part of us. But even more, I would say that we are the creator. And the reason I go that far, which might, you know, say, well, that's very arrogant, to say that I am God, effectively, and that you, listening to this, are God, is that we only have one viewpoint as we peer out of our eyes and we listen with our ears and we taste with our mouths and we get inspiration through what, the third eye or the subconscious mind, we the not the body and not the, you know, the inspirational, not the mind, if you like, the eye, the consciousness, the awareness, the thing that when you strip everything else away, the only thing that's left is this sort of awareness thing that resides in us and we peer out at the world from. And this awareness, it can be aware of thoughts. So even the thoughts are not us. We think, oh yeah, we are the sum total of our thoughts. Well, that's not us either. That we're beyond that, because you can hear your thoughts. And so therefore there's something else, isn't there? If you can hear your thoughts. And that is God. That is the creator. That is the one. That is the source of everything. Hearing itself, or hearing the thoughts of this thing. And we're all that. Because how could we not be anything? We cannot be outside of the creator, because then we are abandoned. But we are... So therefore, if we are the creator, we can create. And we do create. We create this world around us. Not consciously, but I do believe we create it. How much we, as a droplet of the Creator, in this form, can influence and create change, I don't know. I think we can change a hell of a lot. Only the leap of faith, because of how we've been brought up and what we've been led to believe, our belief constrains us. That's what I think. I think our belief that we're limited in things is what, you know, we've been told when we see magical things, oh, it's a trick, and it may well be a trick, very good trick. We are told that we can't fly, we can't move things, we can't telepathically talk to one another. And we've been told that that is an extrasensory perception, something we've lost, and all of those things. We've been brought up, have we not, by schooling, which has schooled us into a very narrow band of our ability, schooled us to have to go to work to earn fake money, to pay for a national debt, and to, you know, all the things. And that is such a large fence to leap, to say, no, that's not true. Yeah, we can do that, obviously, because we do it. But that we can do other things, that we don't need to work, that the universe will look after us, that we need to have faith, we need to trust ourselves, our ability, the universe, to bring to us the things we need when we need them, not from an ego point of view, not from a greed point of view, but from an unfolding and learning point of view. That's what I believe. And it takes time to get to that point where you can say, I don't need to have a job that will pay me X amount of pounds each month, that actually I trust the universe, the money will just come. It's not the money that's important. The money is only a way of exchange that we in this world at the moment are using, but we don't necessarily have to use fiat currency, gold, silver, whatever, bartering. The money in and of itself is not a thing to be aiming for. People say, oh, if only I had so much money, I could buy this. And the point really is to get to an understanding that the things that you want to achieve, if they are honourable and noble, you don't need money. That, I mean, all of that will fall into place, but you don't need to think about that aspect of it. You don't need to think about the machinations. It's the concentration of the things that you want to do. And that is our creative ability. And it's what we ought to be doing. The lack and the limitation that we put on ourselves, that we're taught and that we carry on, is self-inflicted, because we've accepted these beliefs. I mean, I say self-inflicted, I mean, it's not really self-inflicted, it's been indoctrined into us, of course, but it is self-inflicted because we have limited ourselves by accepting them. It's not our fault. Those teachers have themselves been limited and do not believe otherwise. And so people laugh. But when you watch children, they don't know that anything is impossible. When they're born and they come into this world and they start to begin to reason, and they ask about the limitations that are being put on them. You can't do this. Why, mummy? Why? Why do we have to do that? You know, it's children who know that they're free. The spirit, the soul inside them knows they're free. The parent is in a world of limitation. And the child is saying, why? Because it intrinsically knows, the soul knows, even though within the body it's trying to tune in the brain and tune in the reasoning faculties as it has in the physical environment, and understanding language and things, all those things. The soul itself knows there is no lack. There is no limit. And so there's this like-minded thing that seems to be caring for you, saying you can't do these things. Why, mummy? Why, daddy? And there, to me, is the proof. They're not asking, why is that so? Out of just an introspective nuisance. They're asking because it goes against what they intrinsically know to be otherwise. Thank you for listening. Have a good day. The sun seems to be coming up, which is lovely. Till next time, goodbye.